This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Call. I asked everybody. I said, who wants the ball? And he said, give me the MF ball. And I said, all right, you're getting it. And I said, don't mess around. Go after it and do it. And I give him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw him.
Kevin Willard after the game last night talking about what he asked everyone in the huddle. And Derek Queen said, give me the MF ball. But, you know, Derek Queen afterwards in the press conference said that he'd never hit a game winner before. And Kevin Willard said, now you tell me. I wouldn't have given you the last shot if I had known that. Big time moment for Maryland basketball. There's so much wrapped up into it. They've been on the wrong side of those so many times, not just this year, but over the years. Painful losses. Getting out of the first weekend for the first time in 9 years, just the second time in the last 21 years, is really crucial for them. Just a really thrilling win. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. How far can they go? And anything else you have on yesterday's game? Denton, what did I miss?
Well, so I'm going to harp again on the Queen shot. I thought it was insane. You know, we had talked about early in the season when he was first starting to play, how people were describing that his game was very similar to that of Nikola Jokic. And that's a big comparison. Right. It's a three-time MVP. But that shot at the end was very Jokic-esque in that unorthodox, but he was able to make it work. Righty going to his left off glass, despite the fact he didn't really have an angle for it. I thought that was sensational. I really do think that despite the fact that I agree with you in that they should have used a foul late in the game and they did not, I did think it was very brilliant that they knew exactly, all right, inbound the ball, push the ball, then call timeout to not force themselves to have to go the length of the court. Because that length, you got to go the length of the court with a to win the game is going to be an incredibly tough thing to do. So I really love the way they handled after the buzzer beater. It sucks that they've had to deal with a lot of the buzzer beaters, but they did look like a team that understood not panicking when a guy hit a three late in the game where they only had a couple of seconds left. So I thought that was really, really brilliant. I think as you look forward and you have Florida on the horizon, you got to make it a very, very key point of the offense that you have to feed Derek Queen and Julian Reese much more frequently to start the game. I thought they settled a little bit too much at the beginning of the game for deep shots. You got to get Derek Queen and Juju Reese involved early. I think they can hang with Florida. You know, I know that line, it's 6.5 now. It actually opened at 7.5, Kevin. So that line has moved a little bit early. Florida's a great team. They played really, really well towards the end against UConn, but they're not a perfect team. Maryland hasn't played their best game of the tournament yet, I hope. So I think they can keep it tight with Florida.
I do, too. I think that we've been talking about this for a couple of months now. Maryland has been for, you know, really once they got everything going, you know, late January-ish, it was obvious that their starting five was really good and capable of winning, you know, several games in March. And Florida's really good because they've done the same thing. I don't think Florida probably feels like they've played their best game yet in the tournament. I know Maryland hasn't played their best game. You know, Maryland had a game against Illinois in the quarterfinal round of the Big Ten tournament. That's what they're capable of. I mean, literally being uncheckable and explosive to the point where they're unstoppable with certain players on the floor. Real quickly, too, because I didn't mention this in my game take, I was so excited for the game that Deshaun Harris-Smith had on Friday night against Grand Canyon. Off the bench, 11 points. He knocked down a three. Yesterday, he had a wide-open three and hit nothing, and that was really hard to watch. And then, I don't know, did he hurt? He acted as if he had hurt something. You know, a lot of us understand, usually it happens when you miss a layup. It's like, damn. I rolled my ankle. And you start hobbling back down.
He was really grabbing his wrist after that shot, though. They never gave us a replay to see if his hand got hit.
I did think
he was really good, though, not in the shooting element of it, but the high pick and roll. I do think he has good vision and understands where the pass needs to be delivered. So there was a couple of those plays that I thought he did well.
And he is an excellent defender. There's no doubt about that. All right, phone lines open. Your chance to weigh in on Maryland's win over Colorado State. Let's start with Chris in D.C. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, Chris.
Man, I'm excited. I'm going to tell you why I'm excited, because when I picked my bracket, first and foremost, my coworker is a Florida grad, and he know everything about Florida, and I pick his brain all day. And I'm just going to let you know like this. I picked Maryland to play Duke in the final when I started. It looks crazy, but I was like, hey, if Maryland could stay away from athletic teams, because Maryland lack of the ability to give up a lot of offensive rebounds. And Florida is one of those teams that on their miss, they get 36% of their missed shots, offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
But I just look at this game. This game is going to be exciting because, you know, Florida – they got their three guards are all seniors, and all three of them are transfer guards. And Maryland have three guards. And the matchup that I'm looking for is Gillespie versus Clayton. Gillespie played a heck of a I think he had four steals in the last game. And his defense intensity and Miguel, I would love to see Miguel play Clayton, because Miguel is a hell of a defensive player. And I think Maryland really have a chance because their bigs is going to be the key. You know, Florida is tall, but they're really light. We got to come into the game and feed. You got to feed your big man early in the game. Florida shot, what, 34 free throws last weekend? Maryland don't foul. The reason
they
why
missed
I
a bunch
Maryland
of free throws. Maryland missed 12 Friday, but Florida missed a bunch in that game against UConn.
Yeah, Florida missed 12 as well. But I just
was it 12?
The reason why Maryland give up so many offensive rebounds because they play a 7-8 man lineup, so they don't play too aggressive in the first half, and then they're a great second half team. And a lot of people talk about Florida going to run Maryland out, but Florida is not that deep of a team either. You know, you look at it, they're really similar as a team. If you go look at it, guard plays, points per game.
So no, they're very similar. They got bigs. They got guards. Look, you mentioned it. I think it's Miguel on Clayton. And I think Maryland will mix up their defenses a bunch against Florida. But to me, Miguel against Clayton Jr. is the matchup you want. Miguel is a physical, you know, man. You know, he's an older, developed, mature dude. He hit some shots down the stretch, Clayton Jr. did in that game, that were incredible. I mean, he was guarded, and he knocked him down.
I got one more take for you.
Yeah,
I got one more question for you. All right, check this out. Maybe I'm fine crazy, but I really think that Queen will be a better pro than Flag because of his ability to, like, I think he's going to really develop a three-point shot, consistent three-point shot. He have that frame that he's going to be 6'10", 6'11". And I believe he'll be a better pro than Flag. I know it might sound crazy, but time will tell.
Look, he is a skilled big guy. That's what you need. Thanks for the call, Chris. Is that, you know, typically the freshmen that come out that are projected lottery picks, they're physical specimens. They're super athletic. That's not him. He's not unathletic, but he's not explosive athletic. His true calling is his vision, his IQ, his feel for the game, his handle. He's a phenomenal passing big man. He really is. Like Kevin Willard said at one point during the season, he said, if he were white and Euro, he'd be the number one pick in the draft. The truth is about Queen, though, his game does resemble sort of Euro style, but he hasn't stretched the floor as a four, which is what he's going to play in the NBA. He's going to play the four spot. But he can. I've been saying it all year. He's got a good stroke. I think he'll develop into a good three-point shooter. You know, there's some Karl Anthony Towns in his game in terms of you know, his ability to sort of be in control with the basketball, you know, moving his feel, his floaters, his vision it's terrific. I'd like to see him move a little quicker defensively and be a little bit tougher and more physical consistently on the glass. Ian, go ahead. Is Ian there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go
Do you
ahead.
Have me?
I got you now.
So to answer your question, I think they lose to Florida because I think they're just a different level than Grand Canyon and Colorado State. But everything you said, I agree with. This is such a huge win. The only thing you forgot to add, this is the first Sweet 16 in Kevin Willard's 18-year career. I mean, that's a huge milestone in and of itself. Maryland's third since 2004, or second, rather, since 2004. Derek Queen was tremendous. And I agree, like, when you have a game that close, you can dissect every foul, every possession, every missed call, every call that went both ways. And I think you're right. I don't think the officiating was great, but I think it was even both ways. If that game's played 10 times, maybe Maryland wins six of them. It seemed very even. The one comment I want to say is, again, for Willard to do that, and we went back and forth over DM on that in that press conference, and then to turn around and make it seem like it's the media's fault or somebody else, put a huge spotlight on that team, and for him and the team to deliver was huge. Because if not,
well, the media comments his sense of humor. It's his sarcasm. You knew that, right?
A little bit. But
yeah, he's very sarcastic. The day before was calculated, and
right,
you
it
know,
was.
Yeah.
And the thing is, again, he knows when he does that what's happening. To basically, I can't think of another coach outing the departure of his boss openly while also trying to leverage a new contract. Like, that is quite a power play. And with the Sweet 16, he delivered. Without it, it would be a complete different narrative. And it just shows you how close
it would be for the fans. It would be for the fans. But those that know understand how the last two coaches, him and Mark, have had a battle that I don't think they should face at what I believe should be a basketball school. And it's been a constant battle, constant walls put up. And he used that situation, the Villanova situation, the 25 wins, the second place finish in the Big Ten, to say, I want to be here, but we got to start treating this like the fans believe it is, which is an elite basketball school, because there's a lot of stuff you guys don't know that is much different than true, you know, top-tier basketball schools. I loved it. I think it's been a lot of, you know, things that we haven't been able to talk about, you know, publicly all the time. But look, it's not over yet. They got to get the right AD. They got to get he's still got to get the right commitment. I haven't said this yet on the show. I think he's staying, and I want him to stay. And I hope he gets every single thing that he needs to compete at the highest levels of the sport. go ahead and finish up. I want to get to the other calls.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with what you said there. And I think there is a lot of truth in that. And I too, like you, follow Maryland pretty closely and understand some of the unique challenges that shouldn't be there. But I would also caution you to say Maryland being a basketball-first school. I think the way the money is in sports now, that even basketball-first schools have become football-first schools, whether you saw it with Indiana football this year. Or
I understand that. I get that.
You know, and so
just the rev share alone, there's a certain percentage that has to go to football. So, and it's a much higher percentage than basketball. We all understand what's driving the money, but there's just a lot of stuff that at a bare minimum should be something that Maryland's program and basketball department gets that they have to fight too hard for. Let me move on. Thanks for the call. Let's go to DC. DC, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Kevin, how you doing, man?
What's up, DC?
Last night I was watching the game, and when they hit the three, I was like, the whole game I said that Colorado State not driving to the basket. They living and dying by the three. I thought they were going to miss it. When he made it, I said, oh, man, it's time for us. We got to come up with something amazing. But I don't know what it is about when they come across that half-court line. It's always, like, funny calling a timeout. Like, it's almost like they're about to have a turnover. I was like, yo, somebody else needs to call a timeout other than the person with the ball. Do they allow the coach to call a timeout?
Yeah, final 2 minutes. Final 2 minutes the coach can call the timeout.
It always looks crazy to me, but the first thing I say,
by the way, I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, when you see a team that wants to call a timeout, you want to get the ball over to where you want to inbound after the timeout. Sometimes the player is way too casual, and a defender can step up and maybe make a play before the timeout gets called. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yes. So, when we got the timeout, I looked at it like this. I said, we're going to penetrate and dish. I was looking for a lob, right? But I seen Queen in the timeout, and he was standing up. Everybody else was thinking Queen was standing up. He had that towel in his hand, and he reminded me of John Thompson because he had that serious look on his face. And I'm like, yo, Queen about to take this shot. But I still thought we're going to lob it to him. But when he got it at the top of the key, I said, oh, it's on. Go to the basket. And he went to the basket. He didn't get all the way there. But he threw it off the glass, and that was a perfect shot. Everybody say it was difficult, but I think it was perfect because most defenders are playing for somebody to shoot it straight in. They're not used to people going and shooting it off the glass like that.
Yeah, that was defended pretty well. And he got to that spot, and shooters know this, where it becomes much harder to bank it in because the angle becomes more severe. And there's like now you're limited in terms of the spots off the glass. And he hit the spot. He hit the spot.
Yes,
DC,
indeed.
Great call, man. Yes, always good to hear from you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to weigh in, how far can they go? Maryland, and anything else from last night's game? Let's go to Mutu and Frederick. Mutu, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Man, I'm looking at this game winner from Queen as just a sign of good things to come. Maybe it's destiny, man, because we keep hearing about Florida and their three guards, but guess what? They got to deal with our three guards. And when we're making shots from outside, and Queen and the other big man inside, Reese, doing their thing. We're a tough team to beat, man. So I'm just hoping we go into this game loose, play with desperation, but just play how we normally play when we're rolling. Because if we start making shots, Florida's going to have a problem. My key is Reese and Queen. Queen, I feel, is so advanced for his age, skill-wise.
No doubt.
A big man to have the kind of touch and finesse that he got. But yet I don't feel we've seen the best of him, and I mean from like a physical aspect. I want to see him imposing his physicality down low because he got the size. If we do that, man, and if we beat Florida, Kevin, I think these guys are going to the level of confidence and belief man, we could win the whole thing. That's
thanks
all
for
I
the
got
call,
thanks,
Mutu. Appreciate it. What I'd love to see now that, look, I think this is more of a fan feeling and maybe even a coaching staff and program feeling, but maybe not a player's feeling because they haven't lived through what everybody else has lived through. But I feel like there's like a big weight off the shoulders now. And they can play more loosely and freely. I'm not saying that they played tightly, because I don't think they played tight necessarily. They just didn't play their best yesterday. They didn't play their best on Friday. They won by 32, and they gave up 13 offensive rebounds to Grand Canyon, and they missed 12 free throws in that game. I know what their best looks like, and many of you do as well. You know, going through the course of the season, some of the games that they were just so impressive in, you know, the Iowa game. Now, Iowa doesn't defend at all. The Illinois game in the tournament was so impressive in that Friday night quarterfinal. The game at Nebraska was a game in which they were really difficult to check. The two wins back-to-back on the road that really got this thing started at Illinois and at Indiana were really impressive games. Those were the games in which, you know, you watched them and you said, wow, they have two bigs. You know, both who, you know, one is a true low block scorer, but actually has developed into a decent pick and roll catch mid-range guy in Reese. They got an all-world freshman at the four. He can, you know, he can take you off the dribble facing you. He can score with his back to the basket. And then they've got an excellent playmaking and scoring point guard with two incredible shooters on the wings, one of whom in Rodney Rice is a big-time shot maker, just not a shooter, but a shot maker. By the way, Miguel is too to a certain degree. Miguel's range is incredible, but they've had games. I mean, they had a game in December before they really had put it together where they led Ohio State in their first Big Ten game 50-17 at halftime. It was the largest halftime lead in 30 years in the Big Ten. They led by 33 at halftime. In that game, I think at one point they led by 46. They did not play their best yesterday. They didn't play their best Friday. They didn't play their best against Michigan in the semifinals. I actually thought, you know, coming down the stretch, they had a couple of sloppy wins against Michigan on the road and against Northwestern at home. If they play their best, which we've seen 10 times this year out of their 27 wins, you know, more than that. You know, 12, 13, half of their wins, you've seen a team that wasn't going to lose to almost anybody other than maybe Duke or Houston, you know, on a given night. If they play their best, they got a shot to win two and get to the Final Four. There is no doubt in my mind. I definitely think they are a team capable of winning at least two more. And when you look at the bracket, you know, their semifinal game would not be Duke or Houston. You know, those two teams are really good. Auburn, Denton, how many times this year have we talked about Auburn? And I'm like, they're not Duke. They play so methodically. Even the game against Creighton, they pulled away late. I was glad they did. I had them laying the 8.5. I told you before the bracket came out, I wanted them to be the four, if they were going to be a four, in the bracket with Auburn. More than Florida. But I don't know. I could easily see a minimum of two more wins. What about you?
I mean, Florida's going to be the tough one. I think if they get past Florida, the world is their oyster. Because I don't know that if they play their best, and that's a big assumption to assume that they're going to play their best every game the rest of the way. But if they play their best, I don't think there's a lot of teams that can beat them. You know, Florida would be one of them that I think has the firepower. Duke is the other one, but I think the list kind of stops there, especially when you look at the rest of their bracket. If they get past Florida, I would feel very confident.
Would they be favored over Texas Tech?
I think so. If you beat Florida, depending on how they beat Florida, but if you beat Florida, let's just say you beat them by like six or so, I think they'd be favored over Texas Tech. I think they should be favored over Texas Tech.
Texas Tech's pretty good.
They are pretty good, but
they're seeded higher. They're a 3 seed.
Yeah.
Look at us. We got them in the Elite Eight. Let's focus on Florida. We'll have somebody on to talk Florida basketball before Thursday. Florida's really, really good. Colorado State, you know, had not lost since like early February. And I thought that team was impressive. Like, really impressive. I thought they were well coached. I mean, their spacing alone and their movement alone offensively was fun to watch. I think that guy, Neek Clifford, is a pro. Is he a senior? He is a senior, right?
I think regardless, he's going to the NBA next year. Yeah. Or at least going to test the waters.
And I thought that was, and turned out to be, I think, a much tougher test than Memphis would have been, in my opinion. But look, Florida is a good basketball team, and they have been rolling. You know, there were a lot of people that picked Florida to win this whole thing before it started. I think Florida and Duke were the two most picked teams, I think, in the draw in the ESPN bracket contest. You know, they're another team. They haven't lost in like a month. I mean, it's been a while since they've lost, and, you know, they've got, like, you know, multiple wins over Alabama recently, a win over Tennessee, they beat Missouri, and then they beat a game UConn defending champion yesterday. That was, you may not like Danny Hurley, and I understand he can be a bit annoying. He's one hell of a coach. All right, some Denton news. Next, Ben will join us at 12. We'll get back to college hoops next hour. But Maryland, off to the Sweet 16.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Joan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Denton, before you get to your news, Dan Dockich, I don't even know what he does anymore. He doesn't call games anymore, does he?
He does not call games. You're going to be stunned by this, so I hope you're sitting down. He works with OutKick.
Oh, he works with OutKick?
He does.
Does he host a radio show, too?
He does. He does a local show in Indiana, I believe.
In Indiana. In Indianapolis, probably?
Yeah, in Indiana.
You know, people and all of us could have this done to us pretty easily, I'm sure. When people expose old, you know, frozen takes on social media, a year ago, February 21st, 2024, when Derek Queen committed to Maryland over Indiana, Dan Dockich tweeted out, Indiana basketball caught A and writes in capital letters, all caps, huge break with that Queen kid going to Maryland. How stupid are Indiana fans moaning over an entitled, overrated prep school player not coming? WTF have these clowns ever won at Indiana? That was all over the place. I think I'd seen it at some point during the season. It's a site called Freezing Cold Takes. It's a pretty good idea. I know these have popped up various times. I'm sure you could find several of them that I've got.
It's a rite of passage to be mentioned on Freezing Cold Takes, I feel like.
Exactly. All right. What do you got?
All right. So Sweet 16 is set. 7 SEC teams got into the Sweet 16. I bring that up because I'm eating a little bit of crow on this one, Kevin. I thought when they got, 14 teams in the NCAA tournament that they'd walk into the Sweet 16 with like 4 or 5. I thought it was going to be a complete blow up, that all these teams weren't that good. Consider being proven wrong. They have nearly half of the Sweet 16 field.
So a couple teams have been very impressive from the SEC that I don't think there were expectations for. Chris Beard just wins wherever he goes. He can just flat out coach, and Ole Miss is good. I had them for size against Carolina on Friday. I think that was the largest wager I've made in the tournament. The whole world was on Carolina. That was probably the biggest public play of the first round. And they blew out Iowa State. I know that Iowa State's injured and missing a piece or two, but that's impressive. And, you know, that line against Michigan State is short. It's like 2. Michigan State's like a 2.5-point favorite. Would not surprise me if Chris Beard advances and you get, an SEC, Elite Eight matchup between Auburn. That's an interesting Sweet 16 matchup in the South. You have Auburn, SEC against the Big Ten, Auburn against Michigan. Michigan's comeback and win against A&M was impressive. And then you've got Ole Miss, Michigan State. So you could end up with an SEC Elite Eight final or an All-Big Ten final. I think Arkansas, obviously impressive. They're so athletic, Denton, now that they're healthy. That's what really struck me watching them against Kansas, which was a terrible game. We talked about that on Friday, but in their win over St. John's. And then the team, I'm not blown away by Auburn, and I'm not blown away by Tennessee. Tennessee, there's a reason I'm not blown away with them, because they really are not great offensively. Now, Rick Barnes is as good as anybody, so I wouldn't put it past him to advance. Tennessee, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, they've never been to a Final Four. I don't think they have.
No, and Rick Barnes has been a guy that struggled going deep in the tournament. Remember, he coached Kevin Durant at Texas, and they could not.
Yeah,
Durant and Dean Augustine, and they couldn't get done.
Well, the Durant thing, that was not a great team, and they lost in the first round, if my memory serves me correctly. But they got to a Final Four at Texas with Rick Barnes. They were in that Final Four that Syracuse won, when Syracuse won in 03. It was Syracuse, Marquette, Texas, and Kansas, right? Because Syracuse beat Kansas in the final. That was Dwayne Wade with Marquette. Texas... was TJ Ford, who was the point guard on that team?
It might have been TJ Ford. That would make sense. He got to the Elite Eight last year with Tennessee, but he has definitely not gotten to a Final Four with Tennessee.
You know, he coached for Gary many, many, many years ago. He was an assistant for Gary at Ohio State when Gary was at Ohio State, and Gary, you know, recruited the number two recruiting class in the country other than the Fab Five, and then Gary left to come to Maryland, Ohio State got to the Elite Eight with Gary's players, but he was on the Mason staff. In fact, one of Feinstein's books that I talked about, A March to Madness, the book about ACC basketball, had a bunch of Rick Barnes when he was the head coach at Clemson. He's one of those guys that dummies would say, well, he's never won a national championship. He's never hasn't been to the Final Four, or only one Final Four. Everywhere he goes, that team wins a lot of games and is in the big dance. But His teams have never been, they're always great defensive teams. But, you know, you got to be able to score eventually to win six. So they play Kentucky. But I think Ole Miss is the team that's been the reveal for me of the SEC teams. They're well coached. They're long. They're deep. And they blasted Carolina. And who did they beat in the first round that was impressive?
Ole Miss?
Yeah. Why am I blanking on
Ole Miss blasted Carolina.
Right.
In the first round.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Carolina had the game before. They blasted San Diego State. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, the smell test, 9-7-1 through the first two rounds. Yesterday was the first losing day. I was 1-3. I got Maryland at 143.5. So Derek Queen's shot made it 143. When I gave it out early, it was 144. A lot of you were tweeting saying, went 0-for-4 on your picks. Well, the day before was 1-1-1, and most of you had Gonzaga as a winner plus 5.5. I gave him out at plus 5, so it pushed. That's what happens. I mean, it's when I give it out, sorry. But Maryland did come under for me. I actually played it at 143.5. So 9-7-1. All right, what else you got?
How about a little bit of coaching news? There's been a lot of new hires in college basketball, including a guy that we talked about last week. This one hasn't been official, but it looks like that Sean Miller is the top candidate for the Texas head coaching job. Ryan Odom of ECU is going to UVA and announced today Ben McCollum, who is the head coach of Drake, is going to take Fran McCaffrey's job at Iowa.
Yeah, the Sean Miller piece is we knew about McCollum, we knew about Odom. I mean, Sean Miller, man. He's going to make another run at a big-time place. I mean, you can win at Xavier, obviously. I mean, didn't he take all three of his Xavier teams to the tournament?
Well, he can do it. He can pay players legally now. That was his Achilles heel. Him and Will Wade, they don't now have to get wiretapped anymore.
We talked about Sean Miller last week. So he was going to be the coach. Maryland had a deal lined up with Sean Miller in 2010 when Gary retired. You know, the story goes Kevin Anderson and Sean Miller, you know, they got together in Vegas. There was a get-together, and Sean Miller wanted multiple academic exceptions. And Maryland was one of those schools that only did one academic exception. And he said, well, I need more than one. And they wouldn't give it to him. And he leveraged it into a big raise at Arizona, and Maryland ended up hiring Mark Turgeon. But it really looked like Sean Miller was going to be the coach, and he had been at Arizona for a year, maybe 2 years at that point. But he wanted to get back to the East Coast, and he knew the Maryland opportunity in the ACC. I mean, they had not yet committed to the Big Ten. But Sean Miller is another guy. Rick Barnes got to a Final Four at Texas. Sean Miller's never been to a Final Four. He's been to 4 Elite Eights, never been to the Final Four. And I would bet you, didn't we talk about this last week, and I forget if we went back and looked at it, that they were probably favored at Arizona in at least 2 or 3 of the Elite Eight losses that he had.
Yes, there were multiple times where he was a 1 or a 2 seed. That's what we went back and looked
at
to see how many times.
Where he was a 1 seed back-to-back years, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he got to the NCAA tournament twice in the 3 years in the second stint at Xavier. Once was an NIT. And then his first stint at Xavier in the early 2000s, he made it to the NCAA tournament 4 out of the 5 seasons.
How many years did Rodney Terry get at Texas?
I think he was there for like 2. Because he was like 1.5, because he was Chris Beard's replacement after the Beard stuff went down.
Yeah, so the Beard stuff went down. He, in 23, got them to the Elite Eight. I forget who they lost to in the Elite Eight in 23. They lost in the second round last year, and they lost in the first 4 this year. They blew that lead against Xavier. So Sean Miller ended up beating the team in the first 4 that he's going to end up coaching. Who did Rodney Terry lose to in the Elite Eight a few years ago?
Let's see. In the Elite Eight, I forget who it was because I didn't think Texas was all that spectacular that year.
Look, running Chris Beard, especially given, you know, I don't know, that dude can coach. All right, what else?
All right, how about your boy Aaron Rodgers visiting with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Apparently he was there earlier last week. It was either Thursday or Friday because I saw
Texas lost to Miami. Larinaga's Miami team that went to the Final 4.
Well, Aaron Rodgers visited with Pittsburgh for a reported 6 hours. And I saw a meme, which is why this is fresh in my mind, because you have to be a devilish human being to meet with someone for 6 hours on the first day of the NCAA tournament. But apparently he did. Still no sign of a deal for Aaron Rodgers.
Scott McLuhan, I'll never forget, when Washington, when the news broke that they had hired Scott McLuhan to be the general manager, I got him on the phone before before any of the stuff was announced. And Scott, honestly, still is. He's a super nice person. By the way, you know who's a nice person? Vinny Serrato is a really nice person, nice guy. They just work for the worst human being on the planet. But I said to Scott McLuhan, so how did it come about? And he said, well, you know, Dan had me at his house, you know, over the weekend. I was there for like 12 hours on both days. I may be getting the hours mixed up, but whatever. It was like an obscene amount of time. And I'm just thinking, what in God's name? I mean, you know, unless you're doing stuff like, hey, we're going to go for a hike, or we're going to go play pickleball. That wasn't around.
Could you imagine?
Or play golf, whatever
Dan
it is. I don't think Snyder had any hobbies. But anyway, so I reported that McLuhan had had multiple days of like 8 to 12, whatever the hours were. It was an obscene amount. I mean, Tony Wiley, the PR guy, they went nuts. Larry called me. Tony called me. That's BS. You're making Snyder sound like, I'm like, well, is it true? Because Scott, where did you get that? And I said, I got it from Scott McLuhan. He didn't meet for that long. And then the press conference the next day to introduce Scott McLuhan. Dan Snyder steps to the podium and he's answering a question. He said, you know, we spent back-to-back days, like, you know, 10 hours, 11 hours with each other. I really got to know Scott and really, I just remember thinking, these guys are just insufferable. And they didn't even know. But Scott would tell you, if you got him on the phone, even now, we've had him on the show, I've had him on the podcast. He's such a good guy, and will just tell, he's just, you know, unfiltered most of the time. There's probably something else you could add to that that I'm not going to, because he's a nice person who has had some issues, clearly. And hopefully he's doing well. I reached out to him last year. Did we have him on last year before the draft or after the draft?
I think we had him after. We usually have him on after the draft.
Yeah, because he still does a lot of work as a consultant for teams, or at least he was last year. So we'll try to shoot for getting him on again this year. All right, what else you got?
Jameis Winston to the Giants.
Oh, back to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's
so true. I mean, he's going to go to Pittsburgh, right?
Well, he's running out of options because Minnesota has moved on. New York just signed Jameis Winston, so there's
that's really not an option. As much as I love Jameis, I guarantee you that they signed him to a 2-year, $8 million deal. That's barely a backup quarterback deal. So if Rodgers skipped on Pittsburgh and was interested in the Giants, they could still sign Aaron Rodgers.
It's a question if they want him.
Right.
Because they're going to draft a quarterback.
I'm saying is they didn't draft Jameis Winston to be a – I don't even think they drafted – I don't even think they signed Jameis Winston to be a bridge. I think they signed him to be a backup quarterback for another veteran, or if they draft somebody, I guess it technically could be the bridge.
I think it would be the bridge.
But I don't think it prevents the Giants from going after another veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
I don't think so, but I would have went harder. Like, you know, especially with Russ, like, he's just there. You could, like, Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers is doing his Rodgers bit where he's waiting and he's going to take his time and, you know, make it about him and do the Aaron Rodgers stuff. But you can sign Russell Wilson. Like, you could have signed him before Jameis Winston if you really wanted him, and they didn't.
I don't think anybody wants Russell Wilson.
I don't even know why Russell Wilson still wants to play. You're married to Sierra. Just go be a trophy husband. She's making money. You got a lot of money. You got your brand. Your clothing line and logo is ugly. But you got your brand going on. Like, just go be a trophy husband. Lord almighty.
Nah, he's a competitor, man. He wants to play. But I think that there's still this thing with Russ where it's like, only if we have to. teams are like, if we have to, okay, but we really don't want to
they don't want to put up with the Russell Wilson business. They don't want to put up with Russell Wilson.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's been a tough business. I mean, remember Sean Payton? He despised Russell. We learned about how in Seattle he was despised. Now, the thought in Pittsburgh was that he got it together a little bit and he didn't have his own bathroom and his own office and his entourage and all the things that he had had in the other places because Tomlin wasn't going to put up with that. But he didn't play well enough, too.
Do you think anyone on the Pittsburgh Steelers got his personal phone number, or do you still think they have to go through his people?
I don't know. I mean, how crazy is that? That your own teammates weren't given your cell phone number. I mean, how self-inflated do you have to be that, you know, you're that's incredibly pretentious. What else?
How about your boy Tiger Woods, both Twitter and Instagram official with Vanessa Trump?
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show.
I mean, so she has a type.
She was married to Don Jr.
She was.
Yeah.
She likes him rich.
How old is she?
Probably a lot.
Tiger's coming up on 50 now, right?
Yeah, she is younger than 50. Actually, she's not. She's 47.
Well, she is younger than 50 then.
She's younger, but not
much younger as you thought.
Yeah, I thought she was way younger.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't know much about her until you told me, and I had not seen any of the Tiger Woods, Vanessa Trump stuff.
I don't know anything about her other than that Tiger Woods posted a picture asking for privacy, and like, there's nothing that asks for privacy more than posting from an account with millions of followers.
Yeah, why even do that? I don't know anything about this relationship. I don't know anything about her other than when you told me. I read she is, you know, a New York elite, you know, Manhattan elite, grew up with lots of money, dated a Saudi prince. At some point, she was, like, rumored to be in a relationship with DiCaprio. And then she married Don Jr. They were married for, like, 15 years or something like that.
15 years? She got a $100,000 engagement ring. I can tell you what. That's a lot more expensive than the one I got my fiance.
Oh, come on. I don't believe that. I think he went full out. I don't know anything about her.
Yeah, this company.
I hope it works out for Tiger. I mean, I wish Tiger were playing, but all right. What else?
Conan O'Brien. Final thing here. Conan O'Brien's going to receive the Mark Twain Prize at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I know you
My wife's like, can we get tickets and go?
Right?
What'd you say?
You were at the Kevin Hart.
I was last year.
Award show, yeah. So Conan O'Brien's going to get it this year.
Yeah.
I think he's the best late night talk show guy, by the
so
way.
Good.
I mean, he's so much better than the other ones that are just like,
I don't even watch anybody anymore. I don't watch the Jimmys. I don't watch the Colberts. I don't watch any of them. It's just way too. It's too far in I don't like extreme either direction. But that's way too far much of the time for me. But I by the way, not even honestly, Conan's legit funny. Do you think Fallon or Kimmel are really funny?
Oh my God, Jimmy Fallon, he used to make me so angry on Saturday Night Live. He was always breaking, and it was like it became a bit. I was like, it's like some of the stuff is not that funny. He just wants to be the cute kid that breaks. The way that he laughs at some of the not funny jokes. Like if you were telling me a story and you're like, yeah, it was on a Tuesday and Kimmel's dying. Oh my God, a Tuesday. Oh my, he's a
You know, you see, that a lot in sketch comedy. Like there are occasionally you get people who actually want to break so that people laugh at the breaking.
Like, oh, look at him breaking.
And it's like, no, it wasn't funny enough to break. The all-time show for those things, and you're way too young. The Carol Burnett show and the sketches that she did with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. If you want to laugh out loud at sketch comedy from, you know, one of those variety shows from the 70s that I grew up with, those two dudes were funny and they made each other laugh and it was always funny when they broke. But yeah. All right. We're talking about things that are a matter of, you know, they're subjective. Art is. Anything else?
That's all I got for you.
Ben, next, or are we going to come back and do something short?
Something really quick, because there is something that I think you'll think is funny from the post-game presser after
Maryland's
win. We'll
do that next. All right, you said you had something quick for me.
Yeah, so I was watching the press conference yesterday after the win for the Terps. I just wanted to see kind of what the energy was, and I'm a dork like you're a dork. I watch press conferences. Listen to this answer. Just kind of Derek Queen asked about why the players love Kevin Willard as much as they do.
Willard's someone who basketball players listen to, and what has he meant to you guys in the short time he's been with you?
First, he did pay us the money. And then so we got to listen to him, and we all trust him because he's like a player coach. and then he want nothing but the best for us, and he just he coaches hard. He talked to us other than basketball. He's just always there and just want us to win.
That's funny. You know, Kevin, one of the things that we early in the season when we had him on and we were asking him about Derek Queen, he said, you guys would love this kid. He's got a great sense of humor. He's always making, you know, players and coaches laugh, and he's just a very likable young kid. I mean, we forget sometimes. I mean, is he 19 yet or not? I think he's 19 years old.
I think he's 19.
But Kevin said early on, before we had seen him play one game, before the opener, I think we had him on, and he said, you guys are going to love Derek Queen, the game, but the kid. He's got a great sense of humor. He's kept us, you know, laughing, and he's clearly very confident, too. There's no doubt. And to be able to kind of say that and have a coach that also has a sense of humor, because Kevin does. Kevin's got a great – it's a Jersey sarcastic sense of humor. But he's been saying all year long how easy it's been to be around the kids that he got. That sometimes is tough, man, especially when you're getting, you know, mercenaries, one-year mercenaries, you know, and you're trying to put together a team. You don't know enough about the kids sometimes. And I've talked to many coaches over the years that at the end of the year, and even sometimes good seasons, they were miserable and couldn't wait to see, you know, the kids that they were coaching leave or move on. But I think he's really enjoyed this group all year long. All right, Ben Standing next.